Good afternoon. Welcome to the, I'd like to call the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 23 to order at 1:02 p.m. on Thursday, July 27, 2017, in the Senate Finance Committee Room. Senate members present are myself, Chairman McKinnon, Senators Hoffman, and Senator Olson.
And the House members present are myself, Chair Foster, Representative Seaton, as well as Representative Pruitt.
Thank you, Representative Foster. The goal of the Free Conference Committee is to agree on a committee substitute and recommend it to our representative bodies for approval. We will not be taking public testimony. Pursuant to Uniform Rule 42, this free conference was appointed today by the Senate at 11:23 a.m. and by the House at 12:25 p.m. Adoption of the conference committee report requires an affirmative vote by a majority of members from each House. Representative Foster, could I have a motion to place the proposed committee substitute before the committee?
Sure. I move that the Free Conference Committee adopt the proposed committee substitute, version 30-GS1854/Y for Yankee, of the bill.
I'll object for purposes of explanation and ask the Free Conference Committee staff to present the CS. Ms. Kramer, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Laura Kramer, and I am staff to Senator Anna McKinnon. The committee substitute before the conference committee today essentially is the bill that passed out of the House Finance Committee. What brought us here today are some changes that were made on the House floor. So essentially, everything in this legislation before you, the CS before you, has been seen by the public for over a month. It was adopted by the House Finance Committee on the 12th of June. So with that, Madam Chair, I would highlight the things that are not included in this CS, and that are the supplemental items. The supplemental items that originally were in the capital budget were funded through the operating budget. The operating budget is not in this CS, as that was passed in its own standalone bill. The reappropriation that the Senate body had made from the AGDC to various appropriations, that is not in here. And the additional appropriation for a permanent fund dividend is not in the CS before you. So the one addition to this CS that was not in either the House version or the Senate version, which led to a free conference committee, is the addition of a reappropriation of $55,000 from the SB 74, the Medicaid legislation that the legislature passed last year. And that is for continued health care reform with the health care authority. And that is found on page 16, lines 20 through 28. Otherwise, Madam Chair, I'm happy to walk through the changes of the bill. Typically, in a conference committee setting, we compare the House and Senate versions, so I can compare the differences between the two and what is before you in the CS. The first difference is the restoration of the AHFC full funding of their supplemental housing and teacher health and public safety professional housing. That was restored to the governor's request, and that's found on page 7. Additionally, on page 7 is intent language that was added by the House Finance Committee for the building of the Testamina. The next change, Madam Chair, is on page 8, is the public community transportation that was added back in by the House Finance Committee and is funded at the level that was proposed in the governor's budget. The next change between the two versions is found on page 15. This is the fund capitalization for the oil and gas tax credits. It's funded at $20 million. This is in addition to the $57 million that was funded through the operating budget, bringing a total of $77 million for oil and gas tax credit payments. The next change is on page 16. And this is in the Department of Administration. We have funded the REAL ID legislation that had a fiscal note of $1.5 million. So that is found here. And then just below that on line 20 is the reappropriation of the $55,000 for the health care authority that I mentioned earlier. The next change is starts on page 19 and goes through page 20 and or 21, excuse me. This is for Kivalina for a K-12 replacement school. And in this CS before you, we are using Juno Access funds for to reappropriate to the school, as well as outstanding projects from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And then also on page 20 is reappropriation funds from the Kinnick-Garm Bridge and Toll Authority project. So a total for the Kivalina School of just over $7 million. And at the bottom of page 20, starting on line 28, is backstop language that if these reappropriations fall short in funding for that $7 million, that money will be taken to backfill from the statutory budget reserve for to make that $7 million whole. And I would say, Madam Chair, that this budget is funded using the statutory budget reserve, unless otherwise noted. The next change between the two bills is on page 22, and that's the addition of found on page lines 11 through 14. This is for the Veteran Cemetery. Several years ago, the legislature funded land purchase up in the Fairbanks area in Fox for the construction and building of a Veteran Cemetery. That land has found to be not suitable, and it's the intention that the department work with DNR to sell the land that is currently been purchased and purchase new land that is suitable for the Veteran Cemetery. This language was added at the House Finance Committee table. The next change on that same page, page 22, starting on line 21, is for the Arctic Strategic Transportation and Resources Project. This is for DNR. It's been referred to as ASTAR, and that is funded using reappropriations. The next change is on page 23 and starting on line 23, and this has to do with the reappropriation of Juno Access funds. The lines 23 through 26 state that essentially half of the amount with the project, it's just over $21 million, is to remain with the Juno Access project. And then following line 26 is the reappropriation of Juno Access funds to the Greater Lynn Canal area for capital projects. And that continues on to page 24. On page 24, line 14 is a reappropriation of $1 million from the Kinnick-Garm Bridge and Toll Authority project to the Alaska Marine Highway. And this is for vessel overhaul, annual certification, and shoreside facilities rehabilitation. Starting on line 24 of that page is reappropriation from the Kubota project of $1 million to the federal aid highway match. And the next change can be found on page 41. This is a reappropriation of $1.2 million. This is money that's typically set aside on the Alaska Marine Highway for art on the ferries, and that is being reappropriated to equipment for the Alaska-class ferries. And on line 28 of that page is page 41. This is backstop language for federal highway match. Federal highway match is to total $58 million. And if the funds run short based on reappropriations not being the balances what they are in the system, then that would be funded using the statutory budget reserve. And Madam Chair, on page 42, starting on line 5, this is an $8 million appropriation to the Community Assistance Program. This is in addition to the $30 million that's currently in the fund to be paid out to communities for FY18, bringing the total for FY18 distribution to $38 million. And lastly, Madam Chair, there is retroactivity that has been added, language that has been added on page 45, line 18, and this basically states that any reappropriations that or projects that were scheduled to lapse at the end of fiscal year 17 would not lapse, but instead would be directed as such in this CS before you.
Are there questions from conference committee members? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Did you mention the revised fiscal note for HB 111?
I'm sorry, I didn't. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. There is a revised fiscal note in here, number four, House implementation by the Department of Revenue for HB 111, which is $1.35 million. That's up from $1.2 million, what was originally in the House fiscal note. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hoffman, that was Section 20 for those that are following from home. Other questions or comments? With that, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Kramer, as you look at page 45, you talked about the lapsed retroactivity portion of it. Do you anticipate that to be a very large amount that will be lapsed or that would have lapsed if this section wasn't in there?
Senator Olson, through the chair, the total reappropriation amounts of all the reappropriations in the budget, is that what you're asking?
Actually, what's the amount of the that would have lapsed and be in danger of losing if this language wasn't in there?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I believe the total reappropriations are in the $20 to $25 million range. I don't have the exact number.
That's fine. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. With that, I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to adoption of the CS? Seeing none, the CS is before us. That's backslash Y. Is there further discussion? Representative Pruitt.
Madam Chair, I would like to make a couple amendments. I apologize. These are not in writing. As the first time I saw this bill, the accepted final version as would be introduced in the CS was yesterday in an email that was sent from the speaker. So I apologize that this isn't right, but I believe you will be able to follow the amendments appropriately. The first amendment, amendment number one, Madam Chair, would be to section six, which is page 15, line 12. And I move that we substitute $20 million for $40 million. And if there's an objection, I can explain.
I'll object.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is referring to the Oil and Gas Tax Credit Fund. The reason I have changed it from $20 million to $40 million is because it is my understanding that if we do not provide in the vicinity of the $95 million range, there is the possibility, a very strong possibility, that there is the potential that some financial institutions could foreclose on some of the companies that are that have we're expecting these tax credits. I believe that it is prudent for us to be cognizant of the impact of our word. We recently, of course, heard about the downgrade part that we have had. Part of that downgrade, of course, is the decision-making and process and how to fund government. Another piece of it relates to our willingness and ability to pay for certain commitments that we have made. And so that is why I have offered this, is to, it is not great. I understand that this is not going to take care of everything, but my goal here is to prevent the foreclosure of certain assets, and my understanding was that this amount would suffice in ensuring that that did not take place. So with that, Madam Chair, that's why I've offered this.
Committee members, does everyone understand the amendment before us?
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Pruitt, where would the extra $20 million come from?
As I believe this, we have currently changed these to come from the SBR. It would be an additional amount from that from the SBR. If I need to be corrected in that, I can be corrected by that if we need to bring up someone from finance.
Are there any further comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that our caucus had actually wanted the oil tax credit number to be zero. We added $57 million into the operating budget. We added another $20 million into the capital budget. And so at this time, I don't think that at least I could support going any more than what we have here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd just like to note that the amount that we have in the capital budget that you've included in this CS is a statutorily calculated amount, and so that companies should well be aware of statutes and the obligation of potential obligations of the state are controlled by statute. And so this change would be increasing above the statutory limit. So I'll oppose it.
Thank you. I'd like to put on the record that while I would like to support Representative Pruitt, your amendment, the bill before us is a compromise between two bodies that have been in conflict over this particular issue. The Senate proposed originally $288 million to pay down one-third of the state's obligation and have raised the issue with the House on multiple occasions as to the risk of not funding at the higher level. The House has made other compromises, and this is a compromise working draft that it's not a working draft. The draft that's adopted is not ideal from my perspective, but one that I will support. Any further comments? Madam Secretary.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Olson.
No.
Senator McKinnon.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
No.
House, one nay, two nays, Senate, zero yeas, three nays.
Amendment number one fails. Are there further amendments? Representative Pruitt.
Yes. Madam Chair, again, I make a conceptual amendment, and it is to section 21.
Could you give us the page number?
Yes, Madam Chair. That would be page 23.
Thank you.
Yeah, related to the reappropriation of $21,285 million actually, there's two pieces to it. The conceptual amendment would under lines 23 to 26, which reappropriates $21,285 back to Juneau Access, it would change that number to $42,570,000, and then it would strike the reappropriation language of the $21,285,000 to the Greater Lynn Canal area. I know it's conceptual. I apologize for that. And if that's not understood, I can clarify even more.
Representative Pruitt, if I could clarify, on page 23, your proposed amendment number 2 would restore the full, would not use any reappropriation from the Juneau Access. Is that accurate?
Madam Chair, I want to make one tweak to what you've just stated. I have left the Kivalina School money reappropriation that had come, that is in a different section, that is page 19. I have not addressed that. The money that I'm speaking of here just refers to the money that was reappropriated to Lynn Canal.
Thank you. Are there comments from conference committee members? Madam Secretary.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
House, 1 yay, 2 nays. Senate, 0 yays, 3 nays.
Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I make a conceptual amendment, again, to Section 21, which would be on page 24. Under lines 14 to 23, there is reference to reappropriating $1 million from Kibata to the Marine Highway Fund, as well as also on that page, on Section on lines 24 to 31, as well as lines 1 to 2 of the next page, there's reappropriation of $1 million to the Kibata funding for federal highway match. The conceptual amendment would strike both of those languages, leaving that $2 million with Kibata.
Thank you. Does everyone understand the amendment? Madam Secretary.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Senator Olson.
No.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Senator McKinnon?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Senate, 0 yays, 3 nays. House, 1 yay, 2 nays.
With that, amendment number 3 fails. Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the committee for giving me the opportunity to offer these amendments. This will be my final amendment. This one is a little bit more, definitely more conceptual, and I would ask for patience as I try to make sure that I do this correctly. The conceptual amendment number 4 would be to Section 45 of HB 57. It would replace the budget reserve language with earnings reserve to the amount of $1.7 billion. And I would also need to make sure that to give Ledge Legal the authority to make conforming language. If there is an objection, I can explain what we're doing here.
I'll object. Could you give us a page number?
Madam Chair, this would not be on a page. This is actually in reference to a budget already passed. What this would do, Madam Chair, is this would substitute $1.7 billion from the earnings reserve to pay for state government operations. As we have recently heard, we have been downgraded. And one of the key reasons we were downgraded was because of the fact that we have not been able to address our current budget challenges. We also heard many people yesterday were able to attend the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation had a luncheon, and they spoke to some of the concerns of legislatures not addressing some of these challenges. Madam Chair, what this does is this replaces language that has already passed with the utilization of earnings reserve money in place of the CBR money as had been indicated in that budget. The basics behind this conceptual amendment.
Are there questions from conference committee members? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Pruitt, what do you think it'll do to our credit rating? Will it have any effect on it?
I believe that the opportunity by showing them that we are willing to use all of our assets, that we are initially stepping into that big challenge, and we have the fortitude and the strength to make this tough decision, I think will speak volumes to them. Being third in the country right now in terms of the credit rating, for those that have not visited other states, I was just in New Jersey. They are truly in a crisis. Their Capitol building has plywood instead of windows in many places. We are not in that situation. It's truly the political willpower that has put us in a situation, the political willpower and, as I previously spoke, what I feel in some cases, unwillingness to pay certain commitments that I think has truly put us in the position of being downgraded. Showing this fortitude, I believe, would have a very strong statement to the people that make those decisions.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With all due respect, Representative Pruitt, what I heard, the reason for the downgrading of the credit rating was not so much where the funds were coming from to go ahead and fund government. It was because there was no plan to put new revenues on the table, and that's the reason we were downgraded. Not so much where the money was coming from to sustain our government. It was more that there was no plan in place to go ahead and get new revenues into the budget. Is that not correct?
I'll allow a bit of a rebuttal.
No problem.
Representative Pruitt.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the allowing of the conversation. You are correct that it is more of a plan in place. But if we show them that we've, for the first time ever, have been willing to take this step, whether there's a plan or not, we've made a huge statement. And at this point in time, it's the little bit we can give in terms of the statements we make, even if we don't have everything in place, I think that will speak volumes to those credit agency ratings.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Representative Pruitt. I'd like to make a comment. Right now, I believe the permanent fund earnings reserve account is drawing 16% interest, and the CBR is drawing somewhere between 2 and 3%. Personally, that would be an unwise move at this time. We had that conversation earlier in some proposals that would have moved a large amount from the earnings reserve with a potential loss of close to $400 million of interest because of the high rate of return the earnings reserve is currently using. And for that reason, I will be opposing this amendment. I would like credit raters who might be watching this to know that we do know that all of our assets are available to us and which ones those are, and that the earnings reserve has always been a simple majority and that we have had a court ruling on that to include that. It has been historically an account that we have not accessed, that we have protected for payments to Alaskans for our dividend program. But at this time, at this table, I will be in opposition of using the earnings reserve because of the interest rate that we're currently drawing on those funds. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd just like to point out that the House and the Senate both have been working diligently towards trying to get a comprehensive fiscal plan. And a plan is a structured draw from this account, and this would be an unstructured draw. And so I think it would be circumventing the process that we are attempting to go through to get our fiscal house in order. So I'll be opposing it this time.
Thank you. Any further comments? Madam Secretary.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Senator Olson.
No.
Representative Seaton.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Representative Foster.
No.
Senator McKinnon.
No.
House, one yay, two nays. Senate, zero yays, three nays.
With that, amendment number four fails. Is there further discussion? Representative Foster, may I have a motion to recommend the conference committee substitute?
Sure. I move that the Free Conference Committee for Senate Bill 23 recommend that the House and Senate adopt the Free Conference Committee substitute for SB 23, version 30-GS1854/Y, and ask that the Legislative Finance and Legal Divisions be directed to make any appropriate conforming and technical changes.
Are there objections? Hearing no objection, the Conference Committee substitute will be forwarded to each body. Members, please stay behind to sign the report. With that, we're adjourned.